The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
Do you hear that noise?
What the fuck?
What are you? What?
I'm about to, you know, go to a knockout tour. We got something to do?
Oh, oh my god.
This fucking
guy. Hold on, let me do mono mix. Is mono, it's mono mix fine? Am I too loud?
$80. Nah, you're good, $80 dude. Sounds you're good. Like shit over there.
It's 50 bucks, baby. Right. 50 bucks for
nah,
me.
Nah, it's 80. Shut up, dude.
Nah, it's 80 for you if you're fucking coward, dude.
It sounds like shit. 80 for you if you're a coward. Hold on, let me grab my water and then
okay,
I'm good.
Okay, grab you're good.
Sound like every other fucking Mario Kart.
Well, dude, play it. Figure it out, dude. Go, dude, try doing those Tony Hawk moves in the other Mario Kart. It'd be fun.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm. You rail grind, dude.
Rail grind?
Rail grind. Oh, wait. Ooh, oh, that's a cat. Oh, shit. Okay. Oh,
can you be a cow in the other Mario Karts? Ooh.
Cow's kind of slow. Cow's not my jam. Crab's way to go.
Oh my god.
Yeah, crab's good. You guys ready? Huh?
Yeah.
Shamal?
Sure, man.
All
I forgot
right.
how to do this, but sure.
Well, we're gonna fucking do it right now. Let's go. Hello and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there, but they haven't uploaded in a while. They probably got deported. Now,
Wow.
I am your host, still here in America, Anthony Fuentes.
What the fuck?
With me is Stop the Steal Cordova right over here. What's up,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, make
doing?
Sure to put on your fucking MAGA hat while you're at it. God damn.
I said they probably got it. I wasn't endorsing it, but I am endorsing the return of James Brizuela to the NPC Gaming Podcast right here.
I no longer want to be associated with this podcast or Fuen. I want everybody listening to know that. I do not condone what he just said.
Hey, we're one of the good NPCs anyways. So, we're going to start with...
Oh, my God. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Big old episode today.
I had this whole plan of, like, I'm back thing, but that just kind of, like, killed all of it. So, I hope you're happy, Fuen. I hope you're happy.
I'm happy because I got a Switch, too. But, you know, there's a lot of other news here that we can talk about.
I guarantee you, while Fuen was doing that, he was doing the Trump dance or the fucking like the jerk off dance that he does.
Oh, yeah,
double jerk off.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, Fuen did that right now while
I got,
he said that.
Switch two in one hand, the soju in the other hand. It's happening. Anyways, God. We got a bunch of quick bits. How about we divide this bitch in two? Who wants to take James? You ain't been here a little bit. You want to handle these first, like, I don't know, like five or so?
Sure. Again, I forgot how to do this, so I'm just going to start reading. Let's do some quick bits, people. EA has shut down its Black Panther game and Cliffhanger Studios along with it. Clair Obscur Expedition 33, which is the worst fucking game name ever, but it's really successful. The developer hopes more players will support $40 to $50 games. I agree with that. Elden Ring Night Rain sells 2 million on the very first day, with Steam chart numbers jumping to 300,000 players in the first hour alone. And I guess I'll just read this next one. Princess Peach's original voice actress has been replaced prior to the launch of Mario Kart World, ending an 18-year career because Nintendo is fucking evil.
Do the next one.
Okay, one more. Once again about Nintendo being evil, the Legend of Zelda movie has officially been delayed from March to May 7th, 2027.
Shoo, okay. Well,
listen.
That's the first round right there. Shall we provide some thoughts on these... first five stores. Cordova, what do you got to say about these quick bits?
A 2-month delay, like, really? Nintendo couldn't wait? Like, fucking just, like, 2 months isn't years and shit. It's like, really? That's how polite of a people they are. And be like, you know what? We didn't make March. We're pushing it back 2 months. We'll let you guys know. You know, that's a little like, ooh, look out for us in 2 years. But, okay, cool.
I think they saw the Avengers move their Doomsday date, and they're like, oh, we got a slot. No, let's do May. Well, let Sonic have March. Fuck it. March. Sonic can have March.
We got a slut. Is that what you just said? You have a slut?
we'll see who they cast. Anyway, but still,
yeah. Wow. I know, man. Like, The first episode back, you're going to get me canceled with you, dude. Fuck.
For real. Anyways, yes.
Well, so, speaking of slut, too, over here, like, Nintendo just slutted out Princess Peach's voice actress.
Whoa.
For fucking
Don't hold on a second. You just ever call her a slut. How dare you?
That is a nice lady.
That is the princess of the Toad Kingdom, you fucking swine.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to take her back. Oh, my gosh.
Why didn't you put the rest of the fucking article in here, though, fun, where they said that she didn't find out until literally the launch of the Nintendo
Switch. Yeah, the game launch. Yeah, they did
and
it dirty.
And she wasn't
sure.
even in it, and she's just like, oh, I guess I'm fired.
It's yeah. a quick bit. We can talk about it now, you fuckers. Yes, yeah, that was a dick move.
Yeah, you support that? You support that with the $80 game? Huh?
I mean, I didn't know she got fired until it launched also, so you know what? Not intentionally. It sounds the same.
They did the boy kind of dirty, too, in the Mario movie. I mean, they gave him a part, but it's like, come on. Like, the first Mario movie.
Yeah,
and you don't give him the Mario part? Like, come on.
Honestly, I did uncover another bit of dickish news I was going to include for this. Charles Martinet is very limited in the ways he can use his Mario voice after being let go.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
Of course they are.
He's just talking to people in his regular-ass voice, you know? He's kind of, it's contraband for him to say something in Mario voice right now, so.
Not related, but there's a documentary about Burt's Bees, the healthcare product, whatever, the great chapstick. If nobody knows what it is, please go get it. It's amazing. Mm. But the guy, Burt, the one that started the company, when they pushed him out, and he went to all the events anyway and never got paid for it. They, like, fucked him over really bad.
Damn,
so,
dude.
Nintendo, I think you learned from that. And
they saw the documentary. They're like, you know, we don't have to tell them. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. I'm really bummed out about this Black Panther game getting canceled. I read additionally, everybody that said they were working on it said that it was very amazing, and I know that's probably what they're supposed to say, but mm-hmm. I mean, from what I understand, this was supposed to be like the Batman style, you know, Black Panther game, the upcoming Wolverine game. It's supposed to be that style. You get to use Black Panther and fight with them. I think they're still doing the Captain America one.
They are, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Yeah. But this one, I feel like the Black Panther, when it got announced, there was a lot of hype behind it.
They announced it right in the height of popularity of Black Panther.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I think the hype went down significantly when the boy died.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, maybe that's why. Maybe they thought that it was probably not going to be, you know, a big seller with, you know,
yeah,
all that happening.
The success probably has too much weight behind it, honestly. Like, so
I read too that one of the big gameplay things was going to be, it was actually going to be an evolution of the Nemesis system.
Mm.
But you know, I feel like they say that for every console game though, because Wonder Woman had the same shit going for it when it got canceled.
Yeah.
That's EA. They've been trying to use this fucking system forever, and they're like, you know what? We can handle this. It's not going to work.
Yeah, like we said before, when they shut down fucking, was it Monolith? Mm-hmm. The copyrighted IP of the Nemesis system is locked away till like 2030 or some shit. Like,
that
it's
shit, dude.
Yeah.
They can't even, nobody can even buy
no
it?
No one. No, no one can use a Nemesis-style system in any game until the copyright expires in 2030 or 2032 or some shit like that.
That's horseshit.
Because they copyrighted it way back in 2014, 2015 with the first Shadow of Mordor game.
Shadow of Mordor, yeah.
And they never use it again.
Damn.
So,
it's been 10 years since that fucking game, though? Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, what the hell? Anyways, yeah, well, that sucks. Yeah. How's Night Rain? Does it still feel popping from the beginning of numbers or no?
No, it's cool. I mean, I'll talk about it a little later because that is what I'm playing. Spoiler alert! But it's very like it's a basically. I think they priced it extremely well. It's not worth a full price game, but at $40, like, it is an expansion. And I think I think it's more than an expansion in regards to they add just enough new shit to it to make it feel like a new game. But at $40, I mean, it's. I mean, if you like Elden Ring or you know, Souls-likes, and you want to play with your friends, this is the easiest way to do it. Because, you know, the multiplayer in all the Dark Souls, the Demon Souls, Bloodborne, all that shit, it's a fucking, you have to jump through
it's
hoops.
Whack, dude.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm not with
this one. I was just gonna jump in. The multiplayer, I was just gonna, you know, me being the staunch supporter of From Software games, What was it, the Nightmare Realm, or what was it called in Bloodborne?
Oh, yeah, like the Dungeon Realm or something. I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember there was some asshole waiting for me right when I spawned in, and he just killed me one shot. And I was like, okay, this is fun.
Yeah, anyway, that sounds fun.
Yeah, that was my input because I hate From Software games.
Well, see, this one's cooler because you can literally, all you need to do is just send an invite to your friend when you're in the game and they join, you know, the lobby or whatever. You literally drop in like Fortnite, right? It's basically you drop in. There is a moving map that changes every changes every run. So it's honestly, it's not so much a battle royale or whatever, like they were saying. It's honestly like a rogue. Roguelike.
Is it roguelike?
From Software game, yeah.
That sounds pretty badass, actually.
It's a multiplayer roguelike From Software game. So what I love about it, though, is the fact that it streamlines the upgrading. So you just literally have to upgrade, like, once you get the souls and shit, you just upgrade, and it boosts all your stats, you know, appropriate to whatever class you're playing, and you can just keep running around. So you don't have to be like, oh, shit. Do I need to upgrade my health or my strength and shit? It just automatically across the board, you get boosts to all your stats.
You get boosts.
That kind of sounds like what they did with Assassin's Creed Valhalla when they did the roguelike mode, which was fantastic. I didn't play that game for a long time, and then they added that mode for free, and I started playing a little bit more. Or I started jumping back in and playing it again because it was that. You just drop into the map. You go fight, you know, hordes. You run around. You get upgrades. You find better weapons. And you just go on and on until you die, and then you start at the beginning again. So I think I love roguelikes, so that's, you know, same. I think that's cool.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that makes it – you made that a lot more sellable to me, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, the only – don't get me wrong, it's not perfect. I really don't think it's deserving of any type of Game of the Year awards like Elden Ring was, but the only thing that's really missing, I feel like they just dropped the ball, was no crossplay, which sucks. The fact that for the first, I think maybe 4 days, you know, like the weekend type, because it dropped on what, Thursday, and then like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If you didn't have a full team of three to drop in with, you were waiting in the matchmaking lobby for fucking, like, it was broken because there's no crossplay, right?
Yeah, limited to
a patch. A patch fixed it. It is better now, but it's very, like, you know, they don't have a two-player mode, which is what me and Nate were playing on, right? So it's kind of like a two-player mode, I feel, would have been cool, but it's either one or three players. So yeah, it's really cool. I think it's very, you know, $40 is the perfect price point for it. So that selling as much as it did on the first day, I think it deserves it.
Yeah, I like these reasonably priced games, you know? Having, as still as a Switch 2 owner, it would be nice to have something more in this realm. But I'll tell you what. Okay, so I'll actually cover the next three quick bits. Cordova, you do PlayStation Quick Play? Or you want to
I got both of those links already up, so I can kick both of them.
What's up?
Or you want to finish Quick Bits, James?
Hold on.
You want to finish them up?
Why do we think The Legend of Zelda got delayed?
Oh, I still think it's the Avengers fucking... They wanted the slot for May. It's just more time.
No, it's because they haven't found Link yet. That's why.
Oh, I think that's actually also a factor. They were supposed to... The goal, if we talked about it in a previous story, was like August, right? August was like when they were supposed to have the cast settled. And you're right, they're probably shitting their pants that they committed to this because they really got to get a fucking Link. So I think an extra 2 months goes a long way.
Honestly, you know who would be a really good Link? The kid that's playing the kid in the How to Train Your Dragon live action.
Hey, he does look the part.
He's actually a really good actor, too.
Shit, dude. I mean, dude.
I don't know his name.
Typecast him. I don't give a shit.
You know. Listen.
Fucking Navi. You could be Navi. They cast you as Navi. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Yep, just annoy the shit out of everybody all the time.
Oh, there you go, dude. Yeah, that's it. Okay. All right. I'll cover the next three. Cordova, you want to cover the showcases, and I'll get to Switch 2.
Yeah, I got the links.
And then James, you can cap off at Resident Evil 9. I know you're pining for that one right there.
Duh.
Yeah.
What do you think? It came back. What the fuck? I think this shit is.
Well, Sony has laid off 30% of Bend Studio, creators of Days Gone, after cancellation of their team's live service game. Boo. Steve.
Wait. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Steve from Minecraft and Joker from Persona 5 will be playable racers in the new Sonic Racing game. There you go.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm with that. And, of course, Mass Effect is officially a go at Amazon Studios, securing Mindhunter's Doug Jung as showrunner, which Mindhunter is a great show. So
can you read that correctly, though?
It's Mindhunter.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate
Y'all been
that.
Mindhunter. Is that?
Mindhunter.
Oh, my gosh. But yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by another Sony cancellation. We talked about it before, the live services. They tried to do how many games, Cordova? I can't remember. It was like
fucking like 12.
Five. Yeah, 12.
12, 13, 14. Some
so
shit.
You're going to see some casualties. Ridiculous. Yeah, you're going to see some casualties for sure. I do like Steve and Joker jumping from Smash Brothers Ultimate to the new Sonic game. That's hilarious to me. So,
yeah. Real quick on Ben Studio, you would think... This, you know, I'm spitballing here.
Yeah,
if you like what I'm about to say, you run with it. If you don't like it, you send it right back.
Come on, Lee.
You would think a studio, if they didn't keep re-releasing the same fucking game over and over again, they might not, you know, get 30% of their staff laid off. I don't know. Just an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Days Gone is fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. We don't need remastered. We didn't need... After they released the 60 FPS version, whatever, like, that was it. Why are we getting another re-release of this fucking game? I'm like, dude, come on. Like, move on. Do something else.
I feel like this is one of those things with the developers probably wanted to. They probably got, you know, their hands, like, good with the single-player game. They just didn't get the fucking opportunity. Sony was like, no, we need live services. People pay money for this shit. And then here we are.
Yeah.
Also, Ben Studio, before Days Gone, they did two fucking PSP bangers in Siphon Filter. Logan Shadow. And those were
Siphon Filter games.
Yeah, where's our fucking PS5 version then, goddammit? Was that the live service game? Is that what we're all fucked right now?
Hey, if Ben Studio would have came back with a Siphon Filter free to, you know, like a multiplayer game, that might have actually been something to look at, because they took advantage of the PSP and were able to make a full single player game and multiplayer for, you know, Siphon Filter. So
they did all the Siphon Filter games, which I didn't know that was Ben Studio, and Siphon Filter 1 and 2 are fantastic.
I was about to say, I actually respect them a lot more right now.
And Alex, if you didn't know this, I just looked this up. Can you look that up, Jamie? They also did the PlayStation Vita Uncharted games, Golden Abyss and Fight for Fortune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did those too. Yep.
Oh, my.
Man, like, these are like actually like pretty good games.
I know. This is pretty good games and pretty big mismanagement from Sony, honestly. Why would they put them on the live service game? This makes no sense.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, all those games are good, but I think... What happened was it didn't sell to Sony's expectations, which is, again, stupid because, you know, you're expecting these crazy numbers and you're not really looking at the accolades. And the accolades for all of those games are very, very good. I guarantee you go on Metacritic or whatever, they're all highly rated. And, they don't care about that. They just care about how much it sold. But, you know,
they're a business.
At the end of the day, they're a business. You're right. I think the accolades argument's good, though, because it's hard to get a really talented developer out there. There's so many. So at some point with a good IP, they could have made something that sold. You know?
I would say maybe it's more so not the fact that the amount of money made. I think they just have a certain... They have this high expectation for most games. I'm just talking in generalizations here. Mm-hmm. But like, if the game doesn't sell gangbusters like GTA, they think it's a failure. And it's like, dude, if you have a game that maybe you break even on or you make a little bit more money, keep making that game, because people are going to come back and it's going to sell more.
Yeah,
but because it doesn't just go crazy like it's the game that everybody talks about that you have to go and buy, it's somehow a failure, which is fucking ridiculous, because then you cut out the people that the game could become, get a cult following. And then, you know, everyone starts talking about, like, for instance, Disco Elysium. I know I've talked about that game forever. What the hell's in that background?
Too. Oh, that's ice. That's my thing. It's fine.
Yeah, I was saying
it's wow.
I'm in Hollywood right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, that game got released and I never heard about it. And then they did the director's cut of it and they added voice acting and all that, probably with the money they made on the game initially. And then it's arguably one of the top five all-time video games for most places, me included.
And it also blew up in sales. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Those enhancements actually turned it around to be a game, like, evergreen. Like, it always sells. Yeah. When it goes on sale, yeah, whatever it is, it's that people talk about it still to this fucking day.
Like me.
Yeah, like me. And me.
And me. Yeah, no, I'm with you, though. Jumping over to the new Sonic Racing game, I thought that was also kind of funny. That Joker and Steve were in it. Because as soon as they showed Steve, I was dying. I was like, man, fuck Steve.
I said the same thing. I was, fuck Steve, too.
I'm wondering if they're going to start doing that with, like, you know, like, every game or every IP is going to start, like, trading characters now. Like, because Smash, who knows? Like, we don't know if Smash is coming back. I'm sure it will, but
in some, you know, maybe form, it's not going to be the same kind. I don't know.
Right, but this just popped in my head. You know, it would be awesome if they brought in, like, a Smash tag team, like, official tag team Smash game. Anyway, yeah, just throwing that out there.
I got these ideas, man.
I got these ideas in my head. Like a shirt that just says loser.
I don't know, like a fucking shirt that just says like loser or some shit, you know?
No, but I think that's cool, and I hope it opens up the door for more of, you know, the characters appearing in other major IPs, because I just think that's fun. I mean, you know, RIP to the PlayStation fighting game, but, you know,
yeah, that's true. Hey, you know what?
Multiversus, you were good for a moment.
Oh, yeah,
a lot of potential that unfortunately was not capitalized on. Sony again, come on, just give him a chance.
Yeah, when they decided to randomly shut it down, I was like, come on, what are you doing? Like, they killed it. Anyway.
Yeah. Cordova, anything thoughts on Steve? You're the fucking main dude. Steve? You're the Steve main over there.
You know,
Steve. Hey,
Sonic. If Sonic wants to go Sonic Mario Kart, you know, it's all good. The more cross branding we got, the better. I'm cool with it.
There you go.
And just, you know, yeah, like you guys, we were talked about Bend and all that, but like just to wrap it up too here, the Mass Effect though, like being headed by the guy who did Mindhunter is kind of like, that's at least to me a redeeming quality. But like, you know, how are they gonna do it? Is it gonna be Fallout level or is it gonna be fucking
Yakuza level?
Yeah, I don't know.
here's a major reason why that show is gonna fail, in my opinion. It's so boring because there's so much fucking dialogue.
You just hate Mass Effect to your core, don't you?
I do. And like, look, man, like I love a good like lore heavy RPG, but that shit was so unbearable. And how are you gonna pack that much lore into like 45 minutes to an hour? 10 episode season, let's just say. Like, there's so much that's in that universe. Yeah. I just think it's going to be hard to compact it in a way that's going to be dynamic, like how they did with Fallout. Like, obviously, there is a lot of stuff that goes on in Fallout, but it's a very simplistic, you know, idea of a post-apocalyptic landscape, the Vault Dwellers and the people that aren't Vault Dwellers. And Mass Effect just has so many factions and, like, so much going on. I think it's not going to translate well.
I would say you bring up a good point. There's a lot more freedom in Fallout. So you can be more, you could do a lot with an adaptation because you have a lot to pull from. You don't have to do everything. Mass Effect is a very clear story. It's got two paths that you can pick. Maybe like a middle path or whatever it is too. But you got to be very specific about which path you pick. I would say, though, Mindhunter is very good with its dialogue. It's also a darker series, and there are some really dark elements in Mass Effect that could benefit from somebody who has this experience. However, it's a tall order. Like, you gotta balance this with special effects, too. Like, this is gonna be a very expensive show. It's gonna be more expensive than Fallout for the kind of stuff they're asking for, so I don't know.
I think the only shot this show has is if it goes the Fallout route of saying, like, we're not going to touch the main games. We're just going to make our own story in the universe, you know?
Yeah,
smart.
It shouldn't be about Shepard. It shouldn't be about that. Like, just give us a show that's in the universe, and maybe they can make something special, but
dude, just give me some, get the Krogans, you know? Just fucking each other up. That's fine. We'll have a couple episodes on that. That's good.
It's the Krogan family.
We got the Mindhunter guy for this one? No, it's fine. It's a really good show. All right. Cordova, you want to give us the state of play and Xbox roundups real quick? Have him up.
Quick.
Just run him down, dude.
I have an idea. How about we just talk about the highlights of the state of play, which there are very few, and then we just skip the rest. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, the highlights is literally, a re-release of Final Fantasy Tactics, a new 007 game from the creators of Hitman. Yeah. I mean, Hitman's good, though. Hitman's good.
Hitman's good, but more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, 007.
Pac-Man's in Hot Shots Golf, okay? That's fine, right? That's
nobody cares about that. Nobody.
I mean, they showed a new trailer, a hype trailer for Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater, the remake. It is, I mean, it does pretty much confirm that they're just pulling the voice lines.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
From the, yeah.
It was one for one. I was like, yep, all right.
Yep. I mean, I don't know about full price, but I'll keep my eye on that one. Mm-hmm. Mortal Kombat's releasing, like, a legacy. Okay, cool. They've released that like fucking six different times though.
Yeah.
Capcom science fiction game. It looks like Death Stranding. Like you don't know what the fuck's going on. At least to me, right? I was just like, what
Pragmata?
The fuck is this? Yeah, Pragmata. I mean, they showed new shit for that. Okay. I guess Neo 3 if you're into Souls-like.
Silent Hill F looks incredibly scary.
That looks good. I would say that looks good. And then Yeah.
And then the major one for me, I'm not even a fighting game guy, but yep. Marvel Tokon Fighting Souls looks fucking great.
Yeah,
no, that's true.
I was going to say the only game that looked like any type of hype or like things to keep your eye on is Arc System Works, which is famous for Guilty Gear and Blaze Blue, is teaming with Marvel Games to say, fuck you, Marvel vs. Capcom, and make a fucking 3v3, or oh, I'm sorry, 4v4. Fighting game that looks fucking awesome. It's all anime inspired.
Yeah, actually, cosmetically looks great. Also look very fast paced. I feel like they were looking at Capcom. They're like, I'm gonna take you for a ride. Like, fuck.
Been a minute.
Yeah, but besides those that we mentioned, it was a pretty. Oh, and then I'm sorry, Ghost of Yotai got a trailer for a trailer. I think a month or month or two from now. So. Yeah, I mean,
cool, I'll just throw in a couple more here. Baby Steps, which looks like the dumbest game ever. I can't wait to play that because I've been seeing it like on Steam, and I'm like, I'm just gonna wait for it to come out on console, and it looks so stupid, but I'm excited. I'm gonna play that, and then a new entry in the Bloodstained franchise, the Scarlet Engagement. I played two of the Bloodstained games, and they're very good, so I'm excited about that one. But other than that, there wasn't the
Bloodstained games actually. That brings them.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is fantastic. I think you'd really like it.
That's the Metroidvania one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I've been trying to get that one forever. No.
Yeah.
It's the modern one. The other two look like NES games, but they are fun. I played the first one. It's really fun. Like, it's a callback to the old school NES style Castlevania.
I see you. All right, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so that one, that's also a good one to keep your eye on. So, jumping over, though. Real quick.
Well, can we rank the Sony State of Play real quick? Out of five, Astrobot, fucking Death, or whatever fucking things.
2.5 for me, bud. 2.5 for me. That's
I'm gonna
it.
Give it a. Yeah, two. I'll give it 2.5. It's on. No, two. There was not a lot of hype, unfortunately, for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a one because they could have easily announced Resident Evil 9 then. I mean, I get why they didn't. Because, you know, the game showcase was bigger. But Summer Games Fest, you know. But at the same time, like, it would have been... They could have mic-dropped everybody and just shown that then.
That would have made it a five.
Right.
that actually would have made it a five.
Like,
right
to have to rifle through all that bullshit to get to Resident Evil 9, I would have been like, cool, this is, like, the greatest State of Play ever.
Yeah, but, no, 100%. Yeah,
we'll talk more about that later.
Coming up soon, 100%. Yeah. All right, Cardoff,
what was it, a week later, then Microsoft had their gaming showcase of 2025.
Oh.
And they pretty much did the opposite of Sony and just dropped fucking game after game. But a little side note before I start all this, a lot of these games I'm about to talk about will be dropping for the PS5. So I don't know if Microsoft just paid more money
Probably.
Or what, but
they probably have like a deal where they get to advertise on theirs and then Sony gets to advertise on theirs and then they just kind of keep it civil because like the fact that I'm just gonna Gears of War Reloaded, it should have not been announced by Xbox.
I agree. No, the hype like, would have been a
at all.
Dude, that would have been all. Sony's conference so good. Yeah. Oh my
and
gosh! I'm
the
with
whole
you.
Point, the whole point of it is because it's finally going to be on PS or Sony on PlayStation. So I don't understand why they announced it. It's like, all right, well, duh, it's a fucking Xbox game. Like,
We know. All right, fair enough. Start out. Just come on.
Yeah, so Microsoft started their little showcase, saying that Xbox Play Anywhere, basically, which is like pretty much saying that any game you see here will be playable throughout the Xbox ecosystem of PC, Xbox, multi-platform games like the PS5, and the freshly announced ROG Xbox Alley, which is Microsoft pretty much collabing, I guess, with Asus. ROG or ROG. I don't even know if it's ROG or ROG. I'm going to say ROG. I don't like the way ROG sounds. I say ROG, yeah. But yeah, the ROG, the ROG Asus.
I don't know about you, but I'm ROG hard.
It's the ROG.
So they, you know, they started that off with the handheld, saying that it's getting a special micro, you know, Xbox, basically the Xbox handheld, right?
Yeah. Well, we've been leaking for this, honestly, this entire podcast.
And it's not just exclusively for Xbox games. It also has Windows operating on there, so you can put your other PC launchers on there. But I think what they're aiming for here is the ease of use with the Xbox Windows, you know, I guess, ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. So any game that you buy on Xbox, or if you have Game Pass, you can just download it to your ROG Ally. So that's pretty cool. I mean, it's not an official, like, it's only going to play Xbox games. But I, you know, am I going to drop money for it? No, but that it's cool that they came out for it. And then one of the big games that they showed with it was Hollow Knight Silksong. So
finally, fuck.
Yeah, they were really pushing for that one, and it will run on that. Also, other games that they, you know, Microsoft just dropped was Outer Worlds 2. And just to get it out of the way right now, people, this is confirmed to be Microsoft's first $80 game. So,
boy, coming out the gate hot, aren't they? Gotta rush and buy that one.
You know, let me just run through these and we'll talk about that. They announced, you know, Grounded 2, I guess, if you like the first Grounded. Indiana Jones, though, is getting DLC, which looks pretty cool.
Would you complain on your PS5?
Ninja Gaiden 4 got some gameplay. You know, I think they leaked that a couple months ago with another showcase.
Yeah.
And then, like we said, they talked about Gears of War Reloaded. One surprising thing that they did, though, was say that Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate is coming finally to Xbox, like fucking 8 years later. Mm. And then they shadow dropped Final Fantasy 16 for the Xbox people. So that game, if you have an Xbox and you want something to play, Final Fantasy 16 is your shit. Finally, they announced High on Life 2. Yes. Pretty interesting, yeah.
Yes.
They did announce a new Plague Tales game called Resonance, which I believe is actually a prequel. It's like a side story prequel, so that kind of looks interesting.
Okay.
And they finally showed what we talked about before as well, is the Invincible game. But it's in the form of a fighting game. Sorry, guys.
Boo! Boo!
Yeah. So
let me just destroy shit as fucking Omni-Man, dude.
Yeah. So, you know, a couple little, to round it out here, they did show new gameplay of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, which I was like, hell yeah. They showed that Persona 4 is getting a remake.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting. And finally, I guess the big mic drop here, people, is the fact that we are getting Call of Duty Black Ops 7 with our boy Milo Ventimiglia in the starring role there. Peter Petrelli himself is in Call of Duty, people.
I'm just like, hold on a second. They're really running out of celebrities for these fucking games, aren't they, though? It's like, okay.
I saw that they announced it, and I didn't even watch anything about it because I'm like, dude, you already got me, and I stopped playing it already. And I'm like, I just don't have the energy anymore for, like, yearly releases, yep. And them lying and then saying there's not going to be a yearly release, but then there's another yearly release. So it's just like, dude, like, I'm over it.
It's funny because I don't know if you guys saw the trailer, but the trailer is so, like, just, it starts off and I honestly thought it was like a Control sequel. So trippy and, like, just, like, psychological. And then it cuts into fucking Nine Inch Nails, and running around, and I'm like, what the fuck? This is Call of Duty? I was like, oh my god!
I need to actually watch this showcase because I missed it. But there are some stuff that I want to look at. Like, for instance, Super Meat Boy 3D.
I love that too. Oh,
yeah. I love Meat Boy, so I have to look that one up.
I bet you do, sick fuck. Because it's really hard.
Oh my god.
I am ROG hard for Super Meat Boy 3D.
You can play it on the fucking ROG Ally, baby.
Oh my god, fool. You just kill it every time. Yeah.
No, but like really the biggest one that I was excited about is High on Life too, because the first one is unbelievably ridiculous. I'm still not through. I'm like, I would say 60% through the game, but it's so good.
Mm, okay, here's the real question though. Before we get into the ratings of the showcase, would you pay $80 for High on Life 2?
No. Not even a little bit. Here's the confusing thing to me. Like, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't The Outer Worlds like whatever? And then there's a sequel and now it's $80? Exactly. Like I played that game and I got so fucking bored. I was like, okay, I'm out. And I asked everybody that played it, like, to actually finish it. I was like, how was it? They're like, it's okay.
It pretty much didn't get better. It stayed the same. Like, everything you did in the first couple worlds, you just did it a bunch.
Yeah.
You know? Yep.
Yeah, and to me, it looks like the same fucking game.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You're tripping.
But I am going to try this demo now. I didn't know the demo was released today or that when the thing dropped, so... I do love Tony Hawk 3.
Tony Hawk 3 and 4 Pro Skater demo was dropped.
I didn't know that.
That fucking remaster was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I got a solid 20 to 30 hours out of it. And, you know, 3 and 4, Tony Hawk 3 is like legit the GOAT of the Tony Hawk games. 4 isn't bad, but it just really didn't.
It's hard to follow up 3.
Three, I think, is the best of the lot, you know? So
This day, oh my gosh. That level design, ugh.
And they put Doom Slayers in there as a secret character. I hope you don't have to pay for him.
And what?
Doom Slayers in Tony Hawk.
I know that if you buy the deluxe edition, he's like unlocked, but I really hope you can win him or unlock him in the game. You don't have to buy him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he's in the deluxe edition, good luck, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, who knows with that shit, but... that shit, and then, you know, the only game... I mean, Gears of War Reloaded, the fact that it's going to be cross-play with all this shit on PlayStation is, like, really cool, because, like, not only is the multiplayer intact, but they're also the full-player co-op campaign is there, so...
Oh, it's cross-play?
And cross-play,
yep. Damn. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's cross progression, cross play.
Yep. And it's only dropping at $40. So yeah.
Yeah, you hear that, everybody else? Do you hear that?
That's so pretty good.
I think Microsoft's showcase, don't get me wrong, besides the $80 announcement, was a solid 4 out of 5. You know, I mean, I think it was a lot better than Sony's, because they just came with game after game. Nothing like groundbreaking, but just to me the out of left field announcement of that ROG Ally was like kind of like, oh damn, okay, Microsoft's gonna put, they're gonna go portable now a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I would say that. Yeah, they came to play a little bit. I wouldn't say 4, I'd say maybe like 3.75. I think 4 would be like great. It was missing one killer fucking announcement before we would get into that realm for me. But ROG Ally looks very interesting. I actually am pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be too expensive, though. It's probably going to be really fucking expensive. Based on the specs that they put out, that shit looks fucking insane.
I think the base one is more expensive than the Steam Deck. The base ROG Ally right now
it's like $700, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
$700?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
So that's just going to be at least $800.
I didn't watch the showcase, so I have no frame of reference, but Indiana Jones DLC High on Life 2, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5.
Okay, there you go, see? Shit.
Just because of those two things.
You're like, you know what? From the shit that I'm actually playing, that's hype as fuck.
Yeah, 100%. I have no interest in more than half those titles, but those two,
Hey, $40 Gears of War, we all just get it?
No, that one's cool, but again, if they would have announced that in the Sony showcase, that would have been smarter.
That would have been way more hype for the actual game itself.
100%.
That's a very, 100%. Very good point. Very good point. Yeah, okay, Microsoft did better this year for sure, like a lot better actually. Sony, they really dropped the ball, but they'll probably, their big ones are usually in September anyways, if I remember correctly. They always follow up TGS, so we'll have to wait and see. So we only got two news bits here before we talk about some spoilers and some other good stuff. So I will take this one because I have it right next to me. But the Switch 2 is here, baby. That's right. The Nintendo Switch 2 has been around for roughly a week and has already proven a huge success at retail, pushing 3.5 million units in its first 4 days, making it the most successful console launch of all time. For reference, the previous record holder was Sony's PlayStation 5, which actually sold 3.4 million units in its first 4 weeks. When comparing to other modern handhelds, the most successful handheld right now is the Steam Deck, which is estimated to have an install base of 4 million. The launch, though, has not been without its issues. Several GameStops in the Staten Island district punctured their customers' Switch 2 screens by stupidly stapling receipts to the packaging. And, of course, the updated Mii creation tool is causing crashes in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Let's hope they fucking patch it, but we'll fucking see. On the plus side, though, several Switch 1 games have received unexpected upgrades thanks to running with uncapped frame rates and down-sampled resolutions on the original handheld, resulting in major boosts when given a lot more horsepower. Now, can Nintendo maintain this momentum? And did the Reddit boycott work? I don't think so, but let's discuss. Huh?
There was a Reddit boycott for what?
For the Switch 2. It was stupid. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, the Switch 2 is pretty stupid in and of itself, so that makes sense. Yeah, I don't care.
3.5 million, stupid baby.
Yeah, I don't care. There's nothing on that console I want to play. It's just a glorified Switch. I don't care. I really don't care. It's as powerful as a PlayStation 4. Congratulations, Gwen.
I'll take it, baby. I'll take it. PS4 Pro, but still, yes.
PS4, but that's fine. It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You know,
maybe we'll see.
Woohoo!
I mean, I've watched and read a lot of stuff about it. Don't get me wrong. I think the biggest upgrade for people is are the people coming from the OG Switch.
Right,
the Switch 2. I have an OLED. I mean, I know you have OLED too, Fun. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I mean, that's kind of why I'm just like, yeah, it's making some games run a little prettier. But like, is Zelda running? And I'm sure we'll get this answer later with your, you know, what you're playing.
What I'm playing, yeah.
Is Zelda running at 60 FPS worth $500 to me? No, I mean, to me, honestly, no, because I already beat it. But I mean, I get it, though. It's like kind of like someone who has a 2017 Switch, you know, it's on its last leg,
8 years,
chugging along. You know, I get it. This is probably a big leap for them. But from an OLED to this, I mean, people are, you know, the reviews I've read on it and shit are like, yeah, it's cool. Mario Kart World is cool. But yeah, I mean, right now it's kind of just there, you know. They're not saying like, oh my God, it's the second coming of the Xbox and the Halo, you know, right? Like the killer launch app or you know, title. So
yeah, it's missing that, I would say, for sure. No,
100%. Yeah, and I mean, I get it. Like $500 for the new Switch and a Mario Kart, yeah. But I don't know. It's really hard for me.
I have to echo that sentiment. I think that's why I'm more chapped about it, is because there was no console seller for me. Like I said, if they would have announced a new Mario, like, don't get me wrong, Donkey Kong Country rules, and I love Donkey Kong, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I torture Fwen with him all the time in Smash, but
He attempts to.
He's been spiked to hell multiple times. But anyway, it just, like, it looks fine, but it didn't really interest me when they announced that game. I was like, okay, it kind of looks fun, but I don't know. It wasn't like a Super Mario Odyssey to me, or you know,
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they would have had something like that, a new Paper Mario, for instance, whatever, like, then I would have been more inclined to want to get it. But for a console that's far less powerful than the PlayStation 5 I already have, like, I just don't, I don't see the value in getting it. I know it's handheld, but I already have a Switch that works fine. So like, it's just, there's nothing more that's doing that I don't already have. So that's why I don't really care as much right now. I mean, when they announce something bigger, I'm obviously probably going to go and get a Switch 2. But right now, there's nothing there for me. And $80 or $70 for the DK, right?
DK is $70.
Yeah, and see, and that's ridiculous to me, because Nintendo should not be the company that's charging more than $60 for their games. Because their games are excluding Breath of the Wild or something like that, because those games are like crazy in depth. But like, I guarantee this Donkey Kong game is going to take you no more than 15 hours to beat.
I actually think 15 hours is kind of generous.
Yeah, that's what I mean. No more than.
I'm like, maybe. So, I mean, yeah, I'll I mean, do you have any more? I'll go.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, their sweet spot's like 8, but I just say no more than 15.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would say so, too. So for me, as somebody who owns a Switch 2, obviously, and is primarily...
We get it.
We know. Primarily a handheld gamer. My thing for me is I use my Switch 1 so much. Like, the differences are very noticeable to me. It's substantially more powerful, that's for sure. Seeing something like Breath of the Wild run at 4K, I got a 4K TV fucking finally. Or not a Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom. And then you notice a lot of things that you're like, oh, these kinds of games could really use even just a little more horsepower. That it's about 8 times to 9 times more powerful is fantastic. I think of it right now as future-proofing, but I will say it does not have a killer app. Mario Kart World is awesome, but it's Mario Kart. At the end of the day, yeah, it's still Mario Kart. It's probably the best Mario Kart. It's fantastic. Mechanically, it's never played better. And it's never looked better. But there's not a killer app for it. My big thing for getting it was I know I'm going to be playing Metroid Prime 4. I know that's coming out this year. And I'm going to play that in the best fucking way possible, because Metroid Prime 1 is one of my favorite games of all time. But I would say that it's substantially better than the first Switch. The screen is the only thing holding it back from the OLED. Because the OLED screen, and Cordova, you can attest to this, that shit is amazing. That shit's really fucking good. This, I would say, is just shy of it. It's not as good. It's a little brighter, maybe. It runs at 120 hertz. So really, really good, well-running games on there. But there's something about that OLED that just pops in a way. Like, if you want to wait for a Switch OLED to OLED in like 3 years, it might be worth it, honestly.
Well, honestly, too, like, let's not forget Nintendo's track record here. Like, what, the first 3DS came out, it was bulky, it was ugly as fuck, and then, like, what, a year and a half later, they came out with the new 3DS, and it was a lot more sleeker and sexier. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, if anyone re-releases, portable handhelds or consoles, it's kind of Nintendo in regards to, like, you know, like I said, the 3DS had fucking 5 different iterations.
Yeah, they're very iterative. That's actually a really good point. I would say my thought process is they're probably going to give us a Switch 2 Lite before they give us anything else. Like, they're going to try their best, I think, to make this system more affordable, but also cut a lot of corners with that next one, from what I think. Because the Switch Lite itself is a big, big seller. I will say, though, and James, you'll find this out on Saturday when we go to fucking Webster's 30th, this thing... feels fantastic. It's a very premium feeling handheld. There's no bulky weird bullshittiness with this one. It is substantially better feeling than even the Switch OLED, honestly. It's a big upgrade in the hardware department. But also, like, you know, just to point out the story here, Nintendo did a really good job fucking scalpers over. Because we've talked about this in previous stories, Nintendo, and we leaked this a few months ago, they held on to the Switch 2 for almost, I think, an extra year, and they amassed about 20 million or so Switches for a worldwide launch, right? Obviously, they're rolling them out. They're not all coming one in one. But, like, the Switch 1 sold about 13 million in its first year, you know? So they definitely thought ahead. And I think anybody who really wanted to get one, which me included in that, was able to do it. And it was a really, really smooth launch, and these numbers are very reflective of that. Now, if they can keep the pace going, that'd be great. We just need more games. We need a lot more games. Right now I'm seeing Donkey Kong, Metroid Prime 4, Pokemon ZA. And those are the only three things that I have in my docket for this thing. I do want to get Cyberpunk. But I'm going to wait for a fucking sale. Oh my God. Because I hear Cyberpunk runs really well on this thing.
Dude, you know how... Okay, hold on. Let me back you up real quick. You know how long it took me to be able to play Cyberpunk?
We talked about this. That shit was fucked up.
Two years, sir. Yeah. And it didn't run on a PS4 at all. Now you have a console that's just as powerful as PS4. That game is going to run like shit.
No, it runs amazing. The reviews are fantastic.
Whatever, dude.
I've heard people say, if you have no other way to play Cyberpunk, the Switch is...
If you have no other way, it's serviceable.
Okay? Xbox One, you might as well use that.
Spent all your money on the Switch 2, I guess you can play Cyberpunk.
That's what they said. It's like, listen, it's serviceable. It doesn't look... I mean, there is muddiness in the dock mode, of course.
Mm-hmm. But of course.
They're like, if you have no other way to play Cyberpunk, it's serviceable. Now, if you can, if
I've
you
heard
can
it's a good it, port, so I guess our algorithm's giving us different shit.
If you can play
I would not believe that ever, that it's going to be a good port at all.
Well, for handheld.
Well, let's just say that, you know, my algorithm has this generation consoles on it, not portable PS4, right? But, yeah, yep. They're saying that, like, if you don't have a PC, if you don't have a PS5, if you don't have an Xbox Series X, the Switch 2 is fine to play Cyberpunk 2. Hey, Cyberpunk.
I'll let you know when I pick up the cartridge. For me as a portable player, like, it's good enough. Because, honestly, I have a hard time playing on my TV nowadays. I just don't have the time to, like, sit down and do kind of stuff. Like, portable's the way to go for me. Yeah. So, you know what? Have a really optimized version of that game handheld down.
You're gonna get a solid 2 hours gameplay out of it, just FYI too. They said that the, you know, even the Steam Deck has a hard time running that in an optimized state. Man. So yeah,
2 years, Ren. I mean, 2 years.
Two hours. Took two hours. A 2 hour game time. So you better be near a fucking charger or something.
I'm telling you, dude. It took me 2 years to be able to play that game.
No, actually, you bring up a really good point. The battery life is. Honestly, comparable to Switch 1, maybe a little less. The one caveat it has going for it, it charges so much faster. So I'm actually okay with that. Like, it's a very, very quick turnaround.
2 years.
You know what? If I pick it up before Saturday, go ahead and run it for me.
I want you to suffer the way I suffered, not being able to play that game after everybody else. And even on PS5, it ran like shit. Anyway. That's my piece.
Oh my gosh. But no, I personally really enjoy it. I'll talk more about the games when we get down to the what are we playing. But you know what? I will still commend Nintendo for giving us a good launch. No artificial scarcity, no none of that bullshit. Like, if you wanted a Switch 2, you can get it. Now, obviously, it's a lot harder to get. But considering how much they stockpiled, I'm seeing on the Switch 2 subreddit, like, if you just keep your eye on these different sites or the trackers, whatever it is, you'll get one. So, you know, when good games get released, I'm sure there'll be plenty on the shelves for you guys. Should, you know, it not be too much of a fucking ask. But yeah, that's the Switch 2 launch. Again, most successful launch of all time so far. We'll see how the first month is, but we got something, I think, even more hype coming up right now, James.
Even more hype. Sir, please, let's not do this. Let's not. Come on. Don't compare this announcement to the Switch 2, because this is way better. Anyway, I want to set the stage.
A little more hype.
I want to set the stage for what happened. All right, so,
Shimon.
As we were discussing, the Summer Game Fest rolled out all the game announcements on Friday. Friday, correct?
Was it Friday?
I think it was Reddit. Jackal. I think it was a Jackal. So we're watching the showcase. I had said to you guys that it's on, and you're like, oh shit, I got to watch it. So I threw it on, and they were announcing stuff here and there. And I was like, okay, cool. Where's Resident Evil 9? I've been talking about this even before my sabbatical from the podcast. That's all I kept talking about, is when we're going to finally be able to hear about Resident Evil 9. And again, I just briefly brought up the fact that the Sony showcase were cowards and didn't show it. So watching the showcase, they bring out the voice actress for Lady Dimitrescu, which got me hyped. And I was like, oh my God, here it is. Whoa. And she just came out to announce that Capcom was having a fucking Resident Evil sale. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This is what she announced? Then they bring her back out. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. It's finally here. All she did was introduce the director, who then said, I'm sorry, everybody. We need a little bit more time. And
his guy horse, you'll see it in the blink of an eye before you know.
Yes, the blink of an eye. We need a little bit more time. In the blink of an eye, you'll see what we've been working on. And at that point, I was like, they're not going to show it. I can't believe they announced an announcement. I'm so pissed. I was tired. I haven't been sleeping well. And I passed out. I woke up about an hour and a half.
We were all pissed in the thread, by the way. We were all pissed in the thread.
Everybody was. I was just going off because I was so mad. I was like, I can't believe they fucking said that and they weren't going to announce it and nothing was going to happen. I fall asleep for probably a good hour, maybe an hour 15 on the couch. I wake up in a sweat. I look at my phone and I see a bevy of messages. Like, they fucking did it. I was like, oh my God, what's happening?
You like my Walter White gift?
Yeah, I was just like freaking out, and then I threw the trailer on, and oh my God, they did it. They finally dropped the trailer for Resident Evil fucking 9. So after this giant troll job, which hats off because they said a blink of an eye and they literally meant it. It was the last trailer shown. They didn't even like introduce it at that point. They just fucking showed it. So yeah, Resident Evil Requiem topped off the show with its debut trailer. The story as we know it, bullshit, follows Grace Ashcroft, daughter of Outbreak's Alicia Ashcroft, as an FBI agent who treks back to a destroyed Raccoon City to investigate a series of murders. The game is helmed by Resident Evil 7 director Koshi Nakanishi, and Grace isn't the only protagonist, according to reports. Game Awards attendees were not there because it was the Summer Game Fest. Summer Game Fest attendees who got a chance to play the game have said a legacy character has a major role in Capcom's next major release, which is due out February 27th, 2026. Ooh. It has also been confirmed that the game will be playable in not only first, but also third person perspective at launch. Additional reports say this installment is based on the tone of Resident Evil 7. Oh, God. And the doll segment of Resident Evil 8.
Yeah.
Are you ready to be scared again? Discuss. I'm just going to lead the discussion here.
Go for it.
I was also reading about people that got to play the private hands-on demo of it. And, you know, everybody hypes shit up, but I really believe this. But they're saying the first 30 minutes of the game is scarier than anything they've ever played in the Resident Evil universe, and I hope that's true. In the trailer, there is a moment where I'm using air quotes here, you can't see, Grace Ashcroft is hung upside down and looks very distraught, and I guess that's the opening of the game. They just said it's very scary, and I hope so, because Resident Evil 7 to me is the scariest game in the franchise and one of the scariest games I've ever played in my life. And if it has anything, there's anything going on that's even remotely like the dollhouse segment, I'm not going to be okay, because that segment is still traumatized to this day from that segment. But I'm very, very, very excited. I was actually very shocked that it's coming out this soon. I did not expect
8 months, baby. 8 months.
I expected this was going to be like a fall 2026 release, but we're right around the corner. 8 months is not a long time to wait. Obviously, we're probably going to see a lot more about who's in it, who's not in it in the coming months. I'm still very upset because if this is in fact Grace Ashcroft and not anything to do with the Winters family, I'm going to be a little annoyed because there was such a good storyline and I wish they would finish it before bringing in, like, I feel like the safe play is obviously to bring in the legacy characters apart from Chris Redfield, who was a big part of 7 and 8. But I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, I could be wrong. There could be some sort of really cool connection to the Winter storyline. But yeah, I'm just excited because 7 and 8 were incredible games. They've really captured the horror that made Resident Evil amazing and brought it back, because 5 is good, 6 is crap.
Yeah, good assessments.
Really,
I agree.
Yeah, they really needed to bring it back to the horror roots, and they did so in spades with 7 and 8. 8's a little bit more action, but I'm very excited. The trailer alone, I was like, ugh. So, yeah. You know, I'm. You guys know how long I've been asking for this. I can't wait. Fuck yeah.
No, I'm with you. I'm gonna run right into this. I've been a Resident Evil fan since RE1 in 1995, back in the day, and those games back in the day just scared the shit out of you. There's a scare factor that Capcom knew right from the bat. Yep. I love how they've just evolved it, with the exception, again, of 5 and 6. There's parts of 4, obviously, that are freaky.
And 4. 4 is not as scary, but yeah, there is some jump scares in that one.
There's
too.
Some, you know, with the fucking, those breathing fucking monsters, oh my god. Yep. But like, Resident Evil always had something to make you stress the fuck out. And from the, I've been reading the same reports from the people who actually got their hands on this, and apparently this RE9 is stressful as shit. In just the first 30 minutes of the, or whatever they got to play around with. It was like 30 to 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, I think it was 30.
Yeah. And honestly, if they keep... this director knows what he knew what he was doing with 7. What do you call it? The Village team clearly took inspiration and did their own thing with 8. But you can tell, like, even just from the trailer... Like, I gotta say, the trailer just hype beyond. Once I started realizing what was happening, I'm like, oh, there's like a... what do you call that? A bomb went off. Nuclear bomb. A crater. Raccoon City had a crater, and then next thing they show you the RPD, but just the R, the P, and it's all fucked up, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, we're going back to Raccoon City. We're going back to Raccoon City. That is fucking phenomenal to me. We've been waiting for, like, decades for that. Literally since, like, RE3 in the 90s, 1999. So, yeah, I'm hyped. This is a day oneer for me, like every Resident Evil is. Yeah. And I just want to know where the story goes. Like, I can kind of see them doing some kind of Winter's Connection or Illusion. One theory I had was that Grace Ashcroft is actually, you know, what's the Winter's daughter name again? I can't figure her fucking name.
Rose. Yeah, I mean, that's what I said in the beginning. Grown I was up, like, it looks just like her.
Like, and maybe who Alyssa knows? Was like adopted her or something. And then she.
Well, I was gonna say that because in the DLC, she's by herself because. Yeah, well, this is spoilers, so sorry, but whatever. you know, her father goes away, and then her mm-hmm. mother goes away, and then she's by herself. So maybe she got adopted by Alyssa because she looks exactly like Rose she Winters. Does. But yeah. You know, we'll see. And my theory too is obviously that they're gonna connect Raccoon City to Village and to the house where you meet all the crazy. Family in Resident Evil 7. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they connected in a very beautiful way. Well, not beautiful, but fucking frightening way.
Yeah, which I'm sure they will. In a Capcom polished awesome way.
Yeah. But there is a moment in the trailer where you hear what sounds to me like Chris Redfield, Jill Valentine, and Leon Kennedy talking.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think they're all talking to each other. So again, I know this has been leaked for months on end that they're gonna bring in the legacy characters, which I'm fine with, I guess, but yeah. I just wanted to connect to the Winter storyline. That's just my main thing.
No, I'm with you, Cordova.
You guys summed it up, man. I mean, the setting to me looks like very, like, you know, a finality type of thing where it's just oh shit, back to mm-hmm. Raccoon City. But I mean, it does look scary. There's like paranormal. Mm-hmm. There's like a little bit of old school fucking, you know, Raccoon City's just zombie shit. And some weird ass possessing type of shit. So, I mean, regardless of who's the main story, or maybe they're going to do like a dual story, I don't know. But it's, you know, came out of left field at the end, you know, at the showcase. And yeah, that's. Well, like we've been talking about for the past year, is like it's coming, and it finally came, and
so did I.
Yeah, I was saying it's coming, finally came.
Huh? That wasn't the only thing. So
I was rock hard after watching the RE9 trailer.
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, my hope is if this is Rose Winters, maybe in the stressful, like, horror moments, you take control of her, and then you flip to, like, one of the legacy characters when you're back in Raccoon City. That would be kind of cool if they did, like, a dual protagonist type of thing. And then maybe you switch between them. You know, going back to, like, back in the day when you had to switch, or you played either as Jill or as Chris, and then Leon eventually. So maybe there's going to be a...
That's right.
Maybe there's going to be a situation where they're going to go back to that, and maybe you play as all three of them in certain parts of the story in Raccoon City, wherever they were when the fucking nuke got dropped or whatever.
Oh, I mean, dude, fuck. We'll see, dude. I don't know. We'll see. Give me Old Man Leon, all right? Old Man Leon's going to come out. Dude. He's going to be like Logan. Just anyways. No, we're all hyped for RE9. It seems like the best elements of all the previous ones. So we'll know in 8 months. It's on the way. Mm-hmm. So, big episode. Holy shit. But we promised this last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever the fucking we dropped the episode. We were talking a little bit of shit, but maybe we get some more clarification. So let's do it real quick. Did they get it right? Because we have no rumors right now. Everybody dropped everything fucking last week. So, yeah. James, did you finish the season? Did they get it right on The Last of Us Season 2?
I finished it. Who the hell do you think I am, dude?
I don't fucking... You've been here, all right? You haven't
and
been here.
Dude, you're asking me, did they get it right as in, like, the season ending?
Just the season overall.
Yeah.
You think so?
I'm fine with it. I don't... What's the hubbub here? Let me ask Alex, because you don't know shit. What's the big controversy here that people are upset about?
I was a little disappointed in regards to they didn't follow the structure of the game in the dual, dual protagonist.
Back and forth.
That's what I've been telling Flynn is that, like, I understand it probably be a lot more challenging in TV, but to me, I was just yelling at my TV a lot of the time, saying like, I'm like, God, this doesn't make sense. I'm like, you need the context.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know, so to me, that's the only thing that I kind of didn't like. I also think that the 7-episode shit was bullshit. They should have gave it the full 9 or 10.
Right.
It just feels like they cut a lot. And now with season 3 being, you know, now we're going to get Abby's side. It's kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
If they would have filmed it back to back, it would have been better and release it, let's just say, winter of this year or maybe next year. But the fact we have to wait for fucking like 2 years is kind of just like,
yeah, you know, I get that. But yeah, I think you're right. You hit the nail on the head with the fact that it would be very challenging for them to flip flop back and forth between Abby and Ellie. Like, I just don't think it would. You can't do that. In a way that people would understand, because these are most of the audience is casual people that have never played the game. So you know what I mean? They're watching it for the fact that it's an HBO program, which are always usually very good. So I wasn't too upset about that. I do think it was too short of a season, and I agree that, like, it's funny too, because, you know, it's like reliving the video game moment all over again. Did you guys spoil it last week? Like, people?
No, this is our spoiler talk right now. So you spoil it the fuck you want.
Okay, so because friend didn't tell me beforehand, I'll just say now, if you haven't seen The Last of Us, played the video game, stop listening.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a really big spoiler, which I'm sure if you live on the internet, you probably already saw. But when the video game came out, I remember Jim had bought it, and he was like, I don't even know if I can play the game anymore. And I was like, why? What the fuck happened? And he's like, dude, you'll see. And so I bought it and then experienced Joel dying, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was so confused, and I was so mad. But then as you play the game, you understand why that happened, and it was such an incredibly brave, in my opinion, and smart move. And I feel in the second season they lost that aspect of it a little bit, because, like, you're still seeing Ellie as they made Ellie the villain for the most part. Mm-hmm. And that I don't understand. That's the part where I'm like, like you just said, Alex, if they would have extended it by maybe 2 more episodes, they could have given a lot more context to Ellie's character and why, you know, like, they could have explained a little bit deeper. Like, because now I think, in my opinion, people don't understand why they're switching to Abby. And I don't think a lot of people are going to appreciate and follow that. Because, like, from an outside perspective, for instance, Nat, you know, she's never played the video game. Mm-hmm. And she was, like, pissed, like, about Joel. She was like,
My parents also. Yeah. They fucking lost it.
Right. She was like, did that just happen? She's like, he's not dead, right? That's just like a dream. I was like, oh no, he's very much dead.
Yeah.
And so like when the finale happens, and then she's like, wait, what's going on? I was like, it's going to be about Abby now. She's like, fuck that. And so I'm sure a lot of people are going to be upset. And also too, because don't get me wrong, like, I think she's fine, but I don't think she's that strong as Abby. I think it was kind of a missed opportunity on the casting aspect of it. Like, she's a good actress, but I would have liked to see the more, like, aggressive looking / like ability of a different Abby, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I don't think a lot of people are going to follow what they're doing as closely or as much as they did with the second season, on top of being upset at the fact that Joel's now dead. But, you know, he comes back in flashback form, you know, multiple times, but I just think right now the way that they portrayed Ellie was kind of crappy. And I think because of that and the cliffhanger, which people don't like, which I understand, and then also Abby, I don't think, like you said, the context is needed for all of that to make sense and to understand why they're going such a drastically different way.
No, yeah. Go first.
Well, for me too, the thing that killed, like, not killed it, but kind of took away my hype was, like you said, like, I was telling my girlfriend, we were watching it, I'm like, you know, same thing. She's like, is he dead? And I'm like, well, he'll be back in flashbacks, right? But they literally put all his flashbacks from the game in.
Yeah, in the one episode, right?
And so, but the thing to me that kind of, that, I mean, we'll have to, you know, I'll have to look back on this when the whole seasons are out.
Right.
But to me, the thing that kept me playing the game was not only the flashbacks, like, to flesh out that story, but a big thing that kind of killed this season for me, that took away the hype, was that they already spoiled the ending conversation that Ellie and Joel had
at the end of the game. That's what I read.
To me, that was the biggest payoff of the game, because throughout the whole game, you're like, fuck, did they even say bye to each other, right? Did they?
Right. Like,
when was the last time they talked, right?
Did he ever tell her the truth?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they put that in the flashback episode at the end of it. And I'm like, I told my girlfriend, I'm like, that just takes away the entire, like, gravitas of the game. Like, the season to me now. Because now we already know that they talked, right? But in the game, I told her, I'm like, when I played that in the game, I'm like, I ain't going to lie. That brought a fucking tear to my eye. Because you finally see, after all the shit that you've been through in the game, that they finally got to make up at the end of the game, right? And to me, that's what made the game, like, top tier for me, is the fact that it's like it pulls you along this entire fucking journey for 20 hours and you're like, fuck, are they ever gonna, you know, like you want to know that answer, and it gives it to you at the end, and that's how the game ends. And I'm like, fuck, that was a great game, right? But in the season, they just give it to you in episode 6 or 7.
I think it was, yeah, 6, episode 6, yeah.
Right? So I'm just like, what the fuck?
I'm gonna disagree with you, because to me the actual ending of the game, I'm not gonna say that now. I'm not gonna spoil it for you, Fwen, or anybody listening, but to me the ending of the game apart from that was the payoff for me. Like, we can talk about it like together, Cordova Note. Whatever. But
ow, my freaking ears.
Cover your ears, friend. So Joel comes back as a zombie. So to me, like, I understand where you're at with that, and I understand creatively why they also did that. But to me, I feel like the other ending, if you will, is gonna be more powerful in a visual format like that, as opposed to in the video game. I think the reason they did that, the biggest reason they did that, is because they probably had to justify why Joel died.
You're not far off.
We played the video game, so we know, like I said, it's beautiful. Like, and like you just said, like, when you go through what you go through in the second game, you understand the choices. But right now, I think people who are casual watchers of the show, there's a lot of people, like, I would say 90% of the people that I talk to have never played the game or even heard of it, but love the show. And so you kill Pedro Pascal, who already is beloved, and you just wipe him off the face of the earth of this world. People are pissed. So you got to give them something to hang their hope on, and that's probably why they did that way too early.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense narratively to me, because honestly, it also made for a really good episode 6. Like, I will say, as somebody who hasn't played the game, who only played a good portion of the first game and then watched the season, you know, like, this particular second season, it felt rushed, it felt short, and it felt inconsistent. Because that doesn't necessarily mean all bad. It just felt inconsistent. It had really brilliant fucking moments. It had insanely, like, stuff where I'm like, damn, that's fucking HBO, baby. That's HBO. And then stuff where I'm just like, what the fuck are they? Is this House of the Dragons fucking episode 5? Like, what the fuck's going on over here? Honestly, to me, it was, and I hate that the internet has harped on Ellie, but I'm not going to discount the actress. She's doing as best she could, acting her ass off. But they didn't write the motivations too well, and they wrote her very inconsistently. She was way too immature, I think, at this stage, where she should be at this age. Something about the lack of growth, or the fact that she would grow sometimes and then be a fucking, like, a teenager the next thing, and you're like, after all the trauma and stuff, you expect a whole different approach to the character, like, very dynamic changes. But, like, she had a lot of points where she just reverted back to even season 1 Ellie. And I'm like, this doesn't feel right. Like, this, but then again, I get, like, episode 6 happens, and I get all this context and everything, and it feels fantastic. I'm like, damn, that's a good fucking show. And I would say it was half a good season, half a really confusing mess.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. And you make a good point too. And again, this is what I was going back to earlier. They didn't write her well in the sense of like you're getting all of the bad of her and not any of the good. And so again, when you get the much more in-depth and longer video game, you understand her character arc way more because of things that happened that they didn't show yet. And when you cut that down into 7 episodes, you don't have the time to show or to give you the background of why she's, you know, the way she is. And again, like you just said, like with Bella Ramsey, she's a great actress and she's doing a great job. But because she looks like a child, you don't get the maturity of Ellie compared to the game one and then game two, where she's noticeably older.
Yes.
Like the only thing they did for her in the second season was they gave her the fucking tattoo, which like she still looks like a kid.
Yeah.
Like, she sounds like a kid. She acts like a kid, and then they don't write her in a way that where that maturity is shown. They just go, you're a bratty kid. You're treating your pseudo father like shit. And then we're going to end the season. And it's like, so that I understand. And that those aspects, yes, I will agree with. Like I said, it was fine. Like I didn't have any overall, like I wasn't like, oh, that was terrible. But I do understand people's aversion to it. And I understand why people, compared to the first season, which was way more well-rounded, I understand why people are upset. But also too, I think people are mostly upset because there's literally no reason, like they, even though they showed it, there's still not a lot of like why Joel had to go away kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It actually, and that's why I say like it felt rushed. Like there, I would have loved at least one more episode. At least one, but I think honestly 9 would have been perfect.
I was telling my girlfriend, because what we do is when we watch it, I'll show her clips from the game of like, you know, what we saw on the show, right? And to me, like one of the biggest, like just it didn't hit the same as the game was the hospital scene with Nora. Because one of my big disappointments was also the aquarium. But before I get to the aquarium. With what's his name, Owen, and that girl Mel, right? Before I get to that, the Nora one, I was telling my girlfriend Stephanie, I'm like, I don't understand why they cut, because like they cut 2 or 3 of Abby's crew out. First guy that catches her, right, Jordan.
Yeah,
that's like one of the first moments in the game where you see that Ellie ain't taking no shit. She literally stabs this fool in the neck because he's trying to choke out Dina, right? And she just, you know, Ellie just gets up, stabs his fool in the neck and says, we got to go kind of thing, right? So the fact that they took him out, I didn't like, because the only real people you see her kill on purpose is Nora. And in the game, she's like number fucking 2 or 3, right? Like she's person. So that was a big thing for me, because I was telling Stephanie, I'm like, look, in the game, Ellie is straight up like all
it's
business.
It's just revenge. She wants
to kill them. In the show, I felt like they didn't want to portray her as that, because this takes me to the aquarium scene where she accidentally shoots the other girl. When in the game, she was self-defending herself, right? The girl tried to kill Ellie and Ellie fucking killed her, right? Like shot her. And then the big reveal that she's pregnant came out right? I get it. Yeah. But I did not like how they did it in the show with the whole like, oh, it just goes through Owen and goes straight and kills that girl. I didn't like that at all, because it makes Ellie look like an idiot in a way, right? Like,
oh, she likes agency in the game.
Yeah,
or
right?
She likes agency in the show. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, in the game by that time, she has already killed 3 or 4 of Abby's crew. Like, she is going to kill Abby's crew. She wants to do that, right? And that's the whole point of the game, is like you see how dedicated she is,
right?
And then that's what makes all these tragedies that much more prolific and like stand out, right?
I agree. And again, I can't say a lot, but I agree completely with that. And like I said, there's you don't get to see like that aspect that you're talking about is part of her overall growth and part of like the holy shit end, you know what I mean? And like and right now they're putting her 1 foot in and 1 foot out, which I think is the wrong move.
That's a good way of putting it.
And they should have just let her go and be like, fuck this, you guys aren't helping, I'm gonna go do it myself, which she fucking does. And yeah. then you're like, oh shit, like she's this like hellbent, bloodthirsty on the revenge path person, you know. And then yeah, I think her wrestling with her morality. I think her wrestling with her morality in a post-apocalyptic landscape is fucking ridiculous to just to begin with. And I think too that also it's confusing because they shouldn't have never done that with her because they already have this new faction, which is the Scars, which are not in the video game, Fwen. The Scars are scars something. The Seraphites, right? They're not in the game, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. The Seraphites, the Scars. They might call them Seraphites in the game, but the Scars are that. What the fuck are they called? Like the tribal group? They're in the game.
They whistle
like that shit in the game. Like you're sneaking through the thing. And you're just
my bad. Yeah. I was confusing because the two names. Anyway, but they're the ones that are the most brutal or the brutal people in the game or in the show. Yeah. So why couldn't they let her be less? And set her up that way so that people go, okay, like she's bad right now, but she's not them.
She's not
and
yeah,
Isaac,
that makes sense.
And she's not Isaac. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Isaac is a cool way
character.
He's way worse. So there's people in this world that are way worse than her. And like the redeeming qualities of her would have been the fact that like she's doing this because like her father was killed. You know what I mean? Like, and so anybody can kind of get behind that. And for her to be like, oh my god. What did I know? It's just like, dude, like,
honestly, and again, as a non-game player, you guys bring this interesting argument here. We'll top it off here, but the Nora scene, I thought was a fucking standout, and that was kind of what I was hoping for a lot more of the season. Like once I saw that transformation, in my eyes, as a filthy casual who has not played the game, I was like, oh, we're about to get dark. I love this direction. I didn't know about the other person she killed before. To me, that was like a really big stepping stone, and they fucking pull the rug.
Yeah,
you know, they go. It's like, oh, but we gotta go help. It's a stranger. Like she has this weird hero fucking complex at some point that makes it's very contradictory to the psychotic person that used her immunity and fucking off somebody.
Yeah, which I don't believe is in the game, right, James? I don't remember her being like, oh, I have to go save these Sarai for these Scar people. Like,
no, not at all.
She was literally just like, if you're a wolf, I'm fucking killing you.
Yeah, see, I like, wanted that. That's I know. What it was. That's the thing. It felt like
look
like
up
sanitation.
The,
look, it felt like a sanitation.
Look up the cover of The Last of Us Part 2. That is not a face that wants to save anybody.
Yeah, see, I don't know. So, again, that's why when I look at the season as somebody who hasn't played the game, it feels incredibly inconsistent. And it sucks because, again, like the Nora scene and then the whole Joel flashback episodes, which all came together really, really well. Even the fucking hard home-ass fucking portion of this episode 2 before we get to Joel. Like, all this stuff. I'm like, damn, there's just so much good there. Yeah. And then there's so much plotting and, like, waste of time in between that sometimes. Although I love Dina. I thought Dina was a fantastic character. I think she was really good.
She's great.
She acted like she did in the game. She was cool. I liked her. I mean, I Jesse was literally just like he was in the game. You know, I liked all of it. I just kind of like, I'm always going back to the fact that the Ellie in the show was not the same Ellie as the game.
Yeah.
That's
not a fault of Bella Ramsey. That's the fault of the writers.
Yeah.
The writers writing her into a fucking corner, unfortunately.
To me, that's kind of taking, like, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to watch season 3 and I'll have to rewatch season 2 since it's fucking 2 years later. But to me, like a flip flop would have been a little bit better. But then again, who knows? I don't know. I mean, maybe that would have been probably too much to do.
Yeah.
You know, day one Ellie, day one Abby.
Maybe a little more Abby though. Please, actually, a little bit more Abby to give you some context.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing too, just going back to what we were talking about before, is the fact that they made her a bratty, rebellious teenager, and only that, instead of being like, yeah, she has her growing pains with Joel, which you quickly get the fuck over in the video game, because guess what? There's bloodthirsty fucking zombies trying to kill you at every turn. So I think that is also a disconnect that's happening. That people like probably don't appreciate is like, okay, like again, there's not a lot of redeeming qualities, so then they have to make her a pseudo hero when it's like, dude, she's really not. She's like fucking hellbent in the game, you know, because and again, you're in a post-apocalyptic world, so there's not, you can't you can't like rest on your laurels, or you can't just stay there and be like, I'm mad at Joel because he told me what to do. Like, it's like, dude, like we don't need that.
That was a good impression.
To me, it was that part, like you said, after she killed Nora, where she's like, I'm going to go help this kid who I've never met in my life. And I'm going to risk everything to shoot him and all the wolves. And it's like, she didn't do that in the game. She just wanted to kill wolves. Like,
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That, again, that's what got me too. But you know what? I see the inspiration. I can tell that there are big moments in this game that were probably really, really well done. That makes me just want to play it. Honestly, it just makes me want to play. It doesn't make me want to. But
Okay, I'll say this again. I'm not gonna say what it is, but if they don't do what I've been hinting at the right way, I'm gonna be super pissed.
Okay.
I'm gonna be so pissed.
Yeah, no, I think I know what you're talking about at the very end of the and I agree, because it's kind of like you see what everything was for, but
like
just to wrap it up to that part that you're talking about, I was like, it was like a bittersweet because of the moment before with Joel, like, and that's kind of why I'm like, I'm like, ugh.
Like, do we have to? No, probably won't.
Yeah, kind of.
We'll see. All right. Well, we'll find out. Oh, God, I hope they release it next year, but I don't know.
My bad. Did they get it right? To me, it's 50-50, if that's allowed.
I think it's allowed. I don't think they got it right.
Yeah.
But we'll give them another shot.
Yeah, 60% right. We'll say that.
60% of the time, it works every time. That's what I
mean. Exactly. They got it. Sex Panther.
Yeah. Right. We'll do the sex. That's like, did they get it right? Sex Panther. Okay.
Sex
almost. But, all right. I'm going to do a quick one of you played. I talked about most of my Switch 2 experience already, so I'll just touch on some quick stuff. But it's, what are you playing? Mario Kart World. I'll go tell you right now, some of the best karting the series probably has. Mechanically amazing. The world itself is okay. The world itself is a little, like, barren. It's a little more, like, just unlocking costumes, doing little bullshit and little challenges. Like, it's not, honestly, a big selling point. The big selling point's the online, which is fantastic. And, honestly, just getting all the stuff. The carts are good. The characters are hilarious. Fucking the cow and the goddamn crab and all these bullshit. I can see it being a great party game. But is it a system seller? No, it's just probably the best looking and best playing Mario Kart, which, I mean, if it's one of the best selling games of all time, that's great. Hopefully, the last one was. This one, I'm sure it's going to sell fantastically. Tears of the Kingdom, phenomenal upgrade. I would say, I don't know what they did. Like, I don't know if it's just 60 FPS or like the resolution bump, whatever was the art style limitations had with the Switch 1. Are really, really like gloss, just glossy as fuck. It's a really good looking and good playing version of this game. I'm actually gonna beat it finally. So I started doing the next round of dungeons. The only thing I noticed is when I play on the TV, since it's 4K or whatever it is, I noticed that the draw distance, they expanded it, but that does lead into some popping I never had in the original Switch version. So I'm like, oh, they increased the draw distance. But also, some stuff way in the back, I'm seeing it populate. I've never seen that before. So I'm like, damn, that's a little fucking weird. But also, like, it just runs so well. And honestly, this is how the game should have been from the start, but we had no Switch 2. GameCube emulation is awesome. Really, really fucking cool. Phil and Ruben came over the other day, and Phil was just destroying us in Soul Calibur 2. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, he filled you in.
Huh?
He filled you in?
Yeah, dude. He filled us in 100%.
I bet he did.
Mm-hmm. And, but I've been playing Wind Waker. It was one of my favorite games of all time back in the day. I used to play it every year. And it's just nice to go back to it. So, again, these are all good starters for the system. Should hold me over until Donkey Kong, and then maybe I'll pick up a third-party game. But so far, really, really good, impressive stuff from the Switch 2. However, what are you playing? What you got?
I was playing Doom, The Dark Ages, which is fucking fantastic. But I've also been training, or was training, for a half marathon. And as such, I was very busy and very tired and very achy from doing a lot of running. And so I went back to playing something a lot simpler that doesn't take a whole lot of thought. Well, I mean, for the most part, in the sense of like the simplistic gameplay. But I went back to Balatro, which is a fucking incredible game. For anybody that's never played it, it's a poker roguelike, and it's so fun. Go get it. It's usually on sale. It's fantastic. I've literally put probably a good 25 to 30 hours in the game, and I finally won one run the other day. I asked Alex, I texted him, and I was like, are you still playing? I was like, I finally won one.
Should have texted the Agent Smith fucking gif. Is it over?
Yeah. And so what's funny is I won that one, and then I won one right after with a different deck, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, am I a pro now? And then I lost horribly again, and I was like, okay, never mind. But it's a very fun game that's very addicting, and you can get lost. Like, you can get lost in that game pretty quickly. Like, I'll start playing it, and then 2 hours later I'm like, how the fuck have I been playing this for 2 hours? But yeah, it's good. You know, it's one of the only games I actually will play on the Switch Portable, because it's, you know, I don't have to look at pretty things with it. It's a very 8-bit card game.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. That makes sense. Yeah, okay,
exactly.
And Balatro. Okay, I'm still considering it, but nice. Cordova, what you got? What you got?
I mean, it's funny because I was playing Balatro on my Steam Deck, and it's very, yeah, it is a portable game to play. I mean, it's kind of something you can have in the background, especially if you like poker and roguelites and shit. So I get that. And then speaking of portable card games, I mean, I don't know why, I just picked up my PSP and just went through the little library I got there, and I saw Metal Gear Acid, and I started playing, and next thing you know, 2 hours went by. So I'm trying, fucking recharged the PSP and started playing on that. My Doom the Dark Ages fucking save data got deleted. After I updated for some, it was fucking weird. I was looking at my phone, and then like I started the game and I started the main menu, and something popped up that I could have swore I just saw the word corrupt on there, and I just clicked X.
Oh no.
And then next thing you know, it takes me to the main menu, and fucking my data's gone.
No.
So I was only on chapter 8 though, thankfully. I restarted playing it. Thankfully I'm just rushing through the fucking first missions I already did. I'm not trying to get all the secrets again, cuz that's the weird thing. My secrets and skins are already unlocked. But my
that is weird.
Yeah. Your campaign got fucked up.
Yeah. So I think I got up to chapter 4 out of 8 from where I was in like a day. So I'll probably get back to where I was over the weekend. But yeah, Dark Age is fucking fantastic. Different game than Eternal. Like it. I know some people are like, ooh, but I like it. I think it's really cool. And then yeah, I've just been playing Night Rain, you know, dropping in with Nate. It's really, you know, the runs can be over in as little as fucking 15 minutes, or they can last for up to fucking half an hour, 45 minutes if you get through the entire boss run of that run. So it's, yeah, like I said, you know, Elden Ring, co-op, it's fucking cool. It's streamlined. All you have to worry about is just finding the right weapon for the character you're playing, and it just pops up on screen to show like really quick, right? Like what it buffs on your character. So I like it. The only thing that I was having issues with was the matchmaking, but so far after the patch, it's been pretty smooth. So, yeah.
All right. Well, shit. Looks like we're playing some good shit. And no absurd headline this week. We just had so much fucking news. So we're gonna end the show right here. thank you, James, for coming back and then you know, regaling us with your Resident Evil 9 hype and all the good stuff right here. Honestly, it's a big episode. Summer Game Fest. Usually we did this in two-parter, but fuck it, we just ran through one. Which is great. Mm-hmm. So check back with us in another couple of weeks when we discuss more coming news and, you know, whatever fucking pops up in our feet. So until then, this has been a production of the Horrible People's Network. I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. You can find me on the Horrible People's Podcast at HORRORBLE People's Podcast, all one word, on Instagram, baby. We got a couple episodes in the pipeline, so they will roll out when we are goddamn ready for it. Anyways, James, you're back. Where can people find you?
When is this coming out?
Like tomorrow.
Okay. I will be. Okay. I will be recording this weekend to relaunch my Retired Monster podcast next week. Basically, what I'm going to be doing is a combination of everything that I love into one podcast, if you will. I wasn't exactly sure what I was doing with that one when it started. I took a long time off from podcasting because I just didn't have the time. But basically, I will be talking about comics. I will be talking about the NFL. I will be talking about MMA. I will be talking about music. I will be talking about everything that I want to talk about because, hey, it's my podcast.
Switch two, baby.
I have made a lot of connections in the past year in my career, and I'm going to hopefully be bringing those connections over to my podcast. And I'm going to be interviewing some pretty great people, hopefully in the near future, and that will be on that as well. So,
Hell yes, sir. There you go. All right, that's pretty nice.
Retiring Masha Podcast on Instagram. There you go.
There you go. Easy. Cordova, where people find you?
I am just, you know, around here, and then occasionally get invited to the main podcast. And then I also have a gaming Instagram where I upload some clips and, you know, videos and stuff like that. So that's just Instagram, Big Bang Cordova, all one word. And that's pretty much it.
All right, well, we'll take them down. Do your stuff. So, all right. Other than that, this has been This Week's Gaming and News. See you in a couple weeks. Peace.
Peace.
Later.